Affectionate Father, grant to each one of us the grace to understand the great struggle we are in, the war between good and evil, order versus chaos. Help us to understand that this struggle goes on all around us and even within us. Grant us the grace to be strong in our love and strong in our perseverance. We ask this through the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Apostles, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now, today we are going to be looking at the two standards. I'm going to give you two conferences on those standards, but I'm going to speak about both. But the first meditation will be one of the two. Now, in page 60, or basically 136, it says the fourth day. We're not worried about that. But oh, here, let me give you these first. Because we are actually on the fifth day for the eight-day retreat. These are for today, yes. There you are, Father. There, my dear lady. There you are. Oh, sorry. There you go. There you go. As you can see by the meditations. The first meditation, the standard, is the standard of Jesus. Later on today, the standard of Lucifer, and then attaining spiritual poverty. Those will be the three meditations this day. Now, in the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius, I'm just going to read it. It says this: the one of Christ, the standard of Christ, our supreme leader and Lord, the other of Lucifer, the deadly enemy of our human nature. This is a history. Here it will be that Christ calls and wants all beneath his standards, and Lucifer, on the other hand, wants all under his. So therefore, I wrote here, it's all or nothing. That's what he's trying to get across. There is no in between. There is a mental representation of the place. It will be here to see a great plain comprising the whole region about Jerusalem, where the sovereign commander-in-chief of all the good is Christ our Lord, and another plain about the region of Babylon, where the chief of the enemy is Lucifer. Lucifer is completely deceived by the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. He has no power anymore except fear and hate. Because he thought that he could destroy the Son of God and he could obliterate him, he literally lost all of his powers. So therefore, we can laugh at him, send him where he belongs, send him back to hell where he belongs. Now, the third prelude is to ask what I desire. Here it will be to ask for a knowledge of the deceits of the rebel chief and help to guard myself against them. And since he was gone and lost all of his power, deceits are nothing. He can deceive us in many, many ways, but still we have the greatest power over him. And also to ask for a knowledge of the true life exemplified in the sovereign and true commander, and that grace to imitate him. Now, there are two standards. We have here Babylon and Jerusalem. That's number 140. Babylon, he's seated, Jesus standing, Jerusalem standing, the throne, a lowly place, fire, no smoke, horrible, amiable snares to capture mankind, and the other, helpful. Now, we're dealing with order versus chaos on the top there, and you see the mystery of love and the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of love are the loyal angels. Mystery of iniquity, and then the mystery of love is the loyal angels, the mystery of iniquity, the rebel spirits. Mystery of love is Jesus. Mystery of iniquity begins with Adam and Eve. Mystery of love deals with a person beatified and the iniquity a person damned. Now, the difference between a parable and an allegory, a parable, not all of it has meaning. But here, everything has meaning. In 1:36, all of this has meaning. Everything that we just read. How many demons, according to the theologians, we occupy the place of the fallen angels. Therefore, there are as many as there are human beings, millions upon millions from the beginning of time till the end of time, trillions perhaps, uncountable numbers. Now, in 1:42, consider how he summons innumerable demons and scatters them, some to one city and some to another, throughout the entire world, so that no providence, no place, no state, no life, no individual is overlooked. 1:42, consider the address he makes to them, how he goads them on to lay snares for men and blind them with chains. They are to tempt them to covet riches, as Satan himself is accustomed to. That they may be more easily attain the empty honors of the world than come to overweening pride. The first step, then, will be riches, the second, honor, the third, pride. From these steps, all the evil leads to all other vices. And we find very clear how the devil leads us to everything evil through those things right here. See, Jesus, the standard, the senses are always mortified. Lowly place, humility, peace, clarity of mind, courage. That's what Jesus gives us. And here, smoke and confusion, fire, the passions. He's sitting, worldliness, sensual passions, pride, confusion, fear. The standard of Christ. He's assisted with Christians that battle, assisted by angels, but sending mostly mankind. Way superior to anything that demons can do. With regard to the personnel of Babylon, it's the Satan and the demons only. No human beings, for all humans are slaves and captives. The program for Babylon, we just read, riches, honor, and pride. In other words, anything I put my confidence in will lead to all vice. With Christ, it is poverty, love of humiliation, humility itself, which leads to all virtues. Now, when we look at all of these different things, we realize that this is necessary to see this, what is happening is what's going on in the world today and in our very heart. This is an example of what's happening around us and inside of us. There's always this war. There's always these personnel. And there's always this program. And we have to discern the spirits within us in order to truly understand. In 1:43 and following, consider Christ our Lord. First, our Lord standing in a lowly place in a great plain in a region of Jerusalem, his appearance beautiful and attractive. How the Lord of all the world chooses so many persons, apostles, disciples, and sends them throughout the entire world to spread his sacred doctrine among men, no matter what their state or condition. Consider the address that Christ our Lord makes to all his servants and friends whom he sends on this enterprise, recommending them to seek to help all, first by attracting them to the highest spiritual poverty. Should it please the divine majesty, should he deign to choose them for it, even to actual poverty. Secondly, they should lead them to a desire for insults and contempt, for from these things spring humility. Hence, there will be three steps. The first, poverty as opposed to riches. The second, insults or contempt as opposed to the honors of this world. And third, humility as opposed to pride. From these three steps, let them lead all men to other virtues. Now, what is humility? But nothing more than the recognition of the truth about ourselves as we stand before God. That's true humility. Doesn't mean we see ourselves as a worm and as nothing and as dirt. It simply means the truth. When Mary spoke, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," for us, oftentimes, that would be pretty cheeky. For her, it was the absolute truth. The colloquy addressed to our beloved Mother Mary, asking her to obtain for me from her beloved Son, our Lord, the grace to be received under his standard, humbly, first in the highest spiritual poverty. Should the divine majesty be pleased thereby and deign to choose and accept me even in actual poverty. Second, in bearing insults and wrongs, thereby to imitate him better, provided only I can suffer these without sin on the part of another and without offense to the divine majesty. Second colloquy would be to ask your Son to obtain the same favors from me, for me from the Father. And the third, to beg the Father to grant me the same graces. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, you have given to us the truth, not only about the world around us and the struggle and the battle that we must face, but also the struggle and battle that we must face within. Grant in this next hour of contemplation that we truly begin to understand the beauty, goodness, the peace, and the true joy that God offers us, that you offer us, through the standard of your Son. Through the intercession and help of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, may we be open to embracing whatsoever you ask of us, regardless of the cost. We ask this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Savior. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. No.